tuned in to Mid Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Welcome back to Mid Morning Empowerment. This is Mid Morning Empowerment. Like I've promised you, we will be looking at family of faith, God's design for marriage. Like I said, we'll be talking to Pastor Billy. He's on the line. Pastor, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing this morning, my pastor?
I'm great, thank you. And we are just celebrating the Lord blessed us with twins last week.
Oh, congratulations, my pastor. We welcome those little souls out, Magiti.
Hey, thank you.
Amen and amen, Pastor. Before we get into our conversation, Pastor, can we open with a word of prayer?
Sure. God, our loving Father, we are grateful, especially this morning, as we delve into your word, building family that will enjoy eternity. Go before us in Jesus' name.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, my pastor. Let's get into it without any waste of time. The time is 9:36. To our listeners at home, if you do want to engage with us on all our social media platforms, do search for the SID Media Facebook page, Twitter, known as X, as well as Instagram. We also have TikTok. And you want to engage with us on our WhatsApp, our top line is +273 470 3520. Let me repeat the number again, +273 470 3520. And then if you do have questions regarding our topic for today, we do have Pastor Billy. He's here to answer all your questions. Let's get into our conversation. Marriage isn't just about romance. It's about unity, selflessness, and sacrifice. In a culture that often promotes personal happiness above all else, God calls couple to something deeper, a relationship built on love, commitment, and mutual sacrifice. But what does that actually look like in everyday life, right? So how does the, my pastor, how does the Bible define the purpose of marriage?
Well, thank you so much. From the biblical perspective, in Genesis 2, verse 24, of course, we find the consummation of marriage, where God himself, actually the founder, is the source of marriage, signifying that without God, no marriage can succeed. And the purpose of marriage, according to God's design, is that it should actually become a small heaven on earth. When both a man and woman leave their parents, you know, and cleave to each other and become one flesh, they should be living a happy life. They should be able to enjoy. They should be able to plan, be able to prosper together, to procreate, to have children, and then bring them in the nature and fear of the Lord. Whereas parenting, suffice to say, is a good thing when God blesses you with children, but with a lot of responsibilities, such as you know, providing psychological help, you know, teaching them to be kind, teaching them how to pray, taking them to school, ensuring that they dress well, they eat well, and they become responsible citizens. So God designed marriage to unite, actually, the earth. One of the purposes of marriage is to bring peace. One of the purposes of marriage is to bring unity. One of the purposes of marriage is actually a school that where we get in and we do not graduate until the trumpet sounds or death does you part, where you keep learning about each other every day. You keep celebrating and enjoying how God is actually leading you. So marriage is designed actually for procreation. It is designed to unite. Marriage is actually designed also when we take in scripture. God uses Abraham, God uses Noah among some of the families that we can pick as examples of marriage to be a factor that will help to spread the gospel. Also in the New Testament, God uses, you know, Zechariah and Elizabeth, the mother and father to John the Baptist, you know, to be able to have a son who will be able to preach about the forthcoming of Christ. You know, Joseph and Mary also in the book of Matthew, also they do marry, and they do have a purpose of making sure that they bring forth Jesus Christ, who is going to be our Redeemer, and he is trained and taught in the ways of the Lord, and finally dies on the cross to save humanity. So marriage, when you see, is actually the backbone of prosperity for any nation. Marriage is the backbone for any church on this planet Earth. No, churches are dependent on marriages. There will be no strong church without a strong marriage. There will be no strong institution, be it in government, without a strong marriage. Because let's say I go for work today and I'm psychologically affected from home, I will not be able to be productive, and the GDP of that particular nation will not, you know, increase in any way, because people are suffocated, people are, you know, are so discouraged such that they cannot put in the burst. And so national development, which is dependent on personal development and family development, will not be enhanced. So marriage is quite a very key partner in terms of economic emancipation of every local church, every community, you know, every government ministry, and as well as every nation, in order for them to be able to prosper in life. So God actually, as we continue, you notice that there are some practical ways couples can build unity in you know, in their relationships. And I'll mention about five keys to a successful marriage that will help us. Number one, it's having the information or knowledge about your partner.
Right.
You need to know your partner. You need to know, of course, the birthdays, the age, the language. For those that are in search, you know their favorite language, the colors, or any health issues regarding your partner, such that you are able to remind them whenever maybe the weather is so cold, or wherever you are, you can call your partner. Number two, key to a successful marriage is acceptance of both the negatives and the positives of your partner's life. It is important. Everyone of us has a negative, you know, aspect of life, and we do have a positive aspect of life. And so when you have decided to choose a life partner, you accept what they have been in the past, and now you are ready to move with them in the future. The reason is, when you have accepted a partner the way they are, you will love them without a condition. The third aspect successful marriage in terms of practicality that builds unity is love. Of course, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, 1 John 4, verse 20, you know, you cannot say you love God when you don't love one another. John 3:16 comes in also as the apex text of love, where we are to love one another in marriage without a condition. You know, I don't love you because of the money. I just love you the way you are naturally. I just love a person such that when you have loved somebody, even when there is a misunderstanding, you do not have you do not have a reason not to forgive, because you love them and you're willing to move with them, to even die for them. You are willing to sacrifice for them. Number four aspect is trust. Psalms 34, verse 4 and 37, rather, verse 4 and 5. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You know, lean on him and he'll give you the understanding. So ensure that you trust one another in marriage. Trust is simply believing that wherever my spouse is, you know, I believe in God in the first place, that she is safe, he is safe, and I trust that, you know, God keeps her or him for me, and whatsoever he or she is doing is something that is there to benefit us as a family. So trust is very, very important. And number five is preparing one another. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 actually indicates that be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference one to another. One of the important keys to a successful marriage in terms of practicality to build unity, you must prefer your spouse more than yourself. Let's say, you know, to our listeners, you are hungry and your partner is very hungry. Both of you are very hungry. And I give you, let's say, maybe 3 scones, or maybe, let's say, it should be 3 hamburgers, maybe, let's say, 3 bananas. How many would you eat? So your answer actually tells how much you prefer your partner. If your answer says you would eat 2 and give 1, then you don't prepare your partner much. So if you prepare, if you prefer your partner, you would eat 1 and rather give 2 to your partner. Why? Because You want your partner to have more. You want your partner to be more comfortable than yourself. You are simply sacrificing for the sake of love. You are sacrificing for your partner. Let's say you get into Woolworths, you've gone to buy something, you want to get a shirt. You know, before you get your shirt, actually, what you see something beautiful for your wife. Let's say you see something beautiful. Oh, my husband would fit in this. You rather want to buy something for your spouse than for yourself. So that is what actually helps in terms of, building the marriage. So Psalm 133 verse 1 tells us actually when it comes to matters of unity, that behold how good and pleasant it is for brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity.
Mm.
Brothers and sisters, you notice that unity will never come without being worked for.
Okay.
Unity has to be sacrificed for. You have to let go certain, you know, tendencies. You have to let go certain perspectives. You have to let go certain desires for the sake of building your marriage. And so you will notice that in marriage, we live only to do two things. Number one, to do the likes of your partner.
Mm.
Number two, to avoid the dislikes of your partner. If I were to summarize marriage, just end it in that sentence. Marriage is about doing the likes of your husband or wife and avoiding or stopping the dislikes.
Huh.
The moment you stop the dislikes of your partner, you live well, your partner will be happy. The moment you do what your partner likes, then you move together, you will be united. You know, there'll be that unity, there'll be that purpose of you living together, because you are willing to sacrifice for your partner. You are willing to let go certain things so that your partner would be happy. So marriage is about doing the likes of your partner. What does your partner like? If your partner doesn't like certain things, no matter how you may like it, and you know, we know that somebody may not like something. Let's say maybe it's a sport and the like. There are certain things that one may not like which should lead to death. Those should be serious issues, not, you know, simple things. But suffice to say that in marriage we live to do the likes of our partner. So when we sacrifice, why is sacrifice an essential part of a strong and lasting marriage? You've got to sacrifice, because without sacrifice, you cannot live in marriage. Believe you me, if you are listening to me right now and you're not yet married, the moment you are not willing to sacrifice, you know, for the sake of your partner, you are not ready for marriage and you will not marry. Marriage is about, you know, sacrifice. You've got to sacrifice. Let's say maybe at some certain time, or you have to, maybe you are watching Manchester United, you know, or maybe in other football teams. It is going up to midnight, you know, and your partner needs your attention. You have to sacrifice that much for the sake of your partner. There are certain things you've got to sacrifice for the sake of your partner if you are to build a strong and lasting relationship. How can marriage couples keep God at the center of their relationships? Prayer is the key. Remember that one of the most powerful keys to prevent divorce is actually prayer. Prayer should be meant the focal point, the key of every marriage. It should be at the center, inclusive of the Bible. A marriage, notice that before we officiate, a marriage, before we marry off people, the first thing to, you know, enter into the church when the minister walks in is the Bible. The Bible boy or girl first presents the Bible, signifying that marriage is built on biblical principles. The foundation of a strong marriage, putting God on the center. So the text, the Bible, becomes the center to govern. It is a manual. It is a handbook on how marriage has to live, because it was founded by God. He is the founder. And suffice to say that when the Bible is put at the center, here we encourage families, couples, to pray. Have time to pray in the morning, have time to pray in the evening as a family. Have family worship, have a devotion, read a text. Let God be the one to guide your family. Notice that when scripture is put at the center, even when we have a misunderstanding because we pray, God gives us, you know, that heart to be able to let go. God gives us a heart. You know, it is easy to smile again because you have prayed, you have sung a hymn. You just feel that there's no way I can continue living like this after I have just forgiven my spouse. And so it is very, very important to put God at the center through devotion and through prayer. And of course, attending church, you know, family retreats and the like. What are some biblical examples of strong marriages? What lessons can you learn from them? I pick on the family of Noah and his wife in Genesis chapter 6, 7, coming down. You know, in such an antediluvian world, it wasn't easy to raise children that would obey their parents to enter into the ark when, you know, millions of people remained there. And so that signifies that Noah and his sons and his daughters-in-law, they were tutored, they were, you know, trained, they raised children. Remember Proverbs chapter 22, verse, you know, raise, you know, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they grow up, they will not depart from it. So one of the keys to bring strong marriages, it has also to begin with training our children when they are young. So this family had worship. This family obeyed God even amidst disobedience. They were able to enter the ark. That wasn't an easy thing. That thing had never happened before. They had colleagues, they had peers, they would have listened to them. I know peers could come and say, hey, you guys, where are you going? This has never happened before. But they stuck to the principles of what their parents taught them. They prayed together, and they were able to be saved. I pick also the family of Deborah, the prophetess, and her husband, Lapidus, in the book of Judges. Very interesting. Judges chapter 4, verse 4. You find that, you know, Lapidus was the husband to Deborah. She is the judge, and he was giving counsel. He was praying. He was encouraging. You know, as a judge, let's say the national president, it's not easy to lead people. It's not easy. But here is a woman. She is the judge of Israel at that time, and Lapidus is the husband. They are a family. You know, whenever she finds challenges, she undergoes, you know how women are marginalized in society. I know she could have been belittled. I know she could have gone through situations whereby she thought, hey, this is not easy. I cannot continue leading like this. But the husband was a pillar. He was there for her. He was supporting. Therefore, I say, as a husband, support your wife, be it in education, support your wife, maybe it's doing business, support your wife, take her to school, support your wife, you know, build together, plan together, budget together, develop together, and that is going to help us build strong marriages together. And finally, I pick on also in Judges 13, the family of Manoah and his wife in Judges. You know, they have been praying for a child. She has been barren for a while. They keep encouraging each other. Manoah doesn't go out for, you know, another side, person, you know, like Abraham was suggested of by the wife Sarai to go to Keturah. No. He doesn't do that. But he remains there. He remains there. Manoah stands firm together with the wife. They keep praying until the angel comes and they are told, you are going to have a child. He is going to be a Nazarene. And this is what he's going to go through. Finally, a family, a couple also in the name of Moses and the wife Zipporah. They go through the challenges. It wasn't easy to raise children. Moses was too busy, yes, doing this pastoral work as an elder, counseling people, praying. But also he realized he needed to have time with the family. Hence the father Jethro suggests, my son, choose elders that will be able to help you. Meaning that, whereas you are married and you are too busy with, you could be a pastor, you could be working in government, remember that you are where you are because of your family. Do not become too busy that you may neglect family. Remember, once your family disintegrates, even your position will show. You may be removed. You fail to function. So build, you know, firm foundation. Never forget your family, no matter how busy you are. Let the family be given a priority before. Remember that it is God first, your family, and then work. So it is God first, your family, and work. So there are three names that you need to defend as as a family. Number one, the name of God. Number two, defend the name of your family. Number three, defend the name of your church, or maybe suffice to say, the name of your nation, wherever you're coming from. God bless us. Thank you.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, my pastor. Last one before I let you go, Mfundisi. So what happens when one is no longer happy in the marriage?
What happens when one is no longer happy? My dear colleagues, Amos chapter 3 verse 3 states, two people can only walk together if they be agreed. Here is a situation. The reason why you are unhappy today is because an occurrence took place. Maybe I said something that hurt you and I just need to apologize. And therefore, it is important there will be no marriage without forgiveness.
Mm.
In marriage, you just have to forgive. Sit down. Now I get to conflict resolution, conflict management. You cannot run a marriage without conflict management skills. It is important that whosoever would want to get into marriage, you should be able to understand the principles of conflict resolution. And among them are that you need to be willing to let go. You should be able to forgive. You know, be willing to forgive. Your colleague has hurt you. Yes, quite all right. But notice that the thing is, no human being on this cosmos will live without hating somebody. It's not possible. You know, I may say something that may appear to be very simple, but yet it has hurt you without me knowing.
Mm.
So therefore, it is important that when one is aggrieved, settle the matter, sit down, sit together, communicate, use correct words, find the right time to communicate, okay? Notice that communication is a two-way thing. State your likes and your dislikes. So I don't like what you said. Oh, the moment one says I don't like this, don't be defensive. Just apologize. Just apologize from your heart, of course. Don't just apologize for the sake of, or, you know, for the sake of moving forward. Apologize because you mean it. So talk when things are good. Communication in a relationship, actually, moderator, I say it is like blood to the body. The moment blood is coming out of the body, it leads to death. When you get to a health facility and they prick trying to remove blood, they want to do a rapid test. Okay, the moment they give you Cotonou is to prevent blood from coming out, signifying that blood is life. And so in any relationship, communication is, you know, it's like blood to the body. So find time to communicate. Okay, Ecclesiastes 7 verse 9 says, do not be hasty in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. So many times, you know, people who have tempers from nowhere, from the day I read this text, I made a number of changes. That time I stopped taking sugar. I could just take tea, put lemon and water, just it. You know, adjust a number of things, avoid a lot of cooking oil, you know, so that you're able to control your temper from the health point of view. And also, when somebody says something, before you answer, think through it. If I answer now, will I be able to offend somebody? If you feel you are not ready to do so, request for some time when you have contained yourself. And so, a conflict in any marriage situation is healthy and normal, and there is no reason. Here's an exit. No, since we have a misunderstanding now, I am letting you go or I am leaving. No, no, no. Find time. You notice that even at work, you have conflicts with your superiors, your subordinates, and you resolve those matters. So is marriage. Attack the problem. Don't attack each other when there is a conflict in marriage. Remember that the whole purpose of conflict management is always to strive to come to a positive conclusion. Avoid referring to the past. Avoid ultimatums. Don't push, you know, the wrong to your colleague. You know, when you are wrong, admit, oh, I'm sorry, I am wrong here. So learn to shape circumstances and do not be shaped by them. Don't wait until something grows bigger. Shape it there and then. You can avoid certain things by quickly sitting down, agreeing, and then be able to move amicably. Thank you.
Oh, powerful, powerful, my pastor. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. Before we close, can we close with a word of prayer?
Thank you so much. And before we pray, I also encourage those that could be going through challenges, you are searching for a life partner. Do your part. You know, there are things that God cannot do. You know, the part of proposing is your part as a human being. Set up your principles. Whom do you want to live with for the rest of your life? And then go for them, you know, with prayer and faith. Those that are already married, there's no room for divorce. Just settle your scores and then move on. Shall we pray? God, our Father, we're grateful this morning. I pray, Lord, for every listener right now, that you will bless their marriages. If others, Lord, have challenges that seemingly are even loving, Father, inviting a divorce, Lord, we pray for your intervention, because in Malachi 2, you've said you hate divorce. I pray that, dear Lord, you will especially help your sons and daughters in every marriage to be able, Lord, to say sorry to one another when they wrong each other, and give big hearts that we should be able, Lord, to receive when our colleagues have wronged us. I pray for those in search of life partners, that, dear Lord, you will bless them as they set up principles on someone they are looking for. I pray that, Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, too, you will guide them as they do their part, Lord, do your part, lead them to better marriages. I pray that you bless the entire world, bless each and every marriage. May it be a firm source of unity, a very strong and foundation of happiness in every society. Continue to bless the entire world and bless every marriage. We know the devil is fighting marriages. We pray that, Lord, you will strengthen each and every marriage, and that, Lord, through each and every marriage, we'll have a strong church, a strong community, a strong nation, and a strong world that is being prepared to live in eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, my pastor, for that. Have a good
Thank
day.
You. Thank you so much, and a happy Sabbath preparation.
Amen. Happy Sabbath to you too. All right, to our listeners at home, that was Pastor Billy talking to us about health. Talking to us about mental. What am I saying? You see, now I'm confused. All right, that was Pastor Billy talking to us about family of faith, God's design for marriage. Right now, it is time for our music segment, Music Takeover. The time is 2 minutes past 10 here on Adventist World Radio. Stay tuned and be blessed.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. Yeah.